Chapter 8. The door opened to an unfamiliar soughing sound, and Silgall's skin went dry. The Voxen were dead. The Millennium Falcon had pulled away from the Sweet Surprise, with its emergency hatch still open, and the aft hold exposed to cold space. It was true the creatures had sealed themselves into scale cocoons and survived the resulting decompression. They had even endured the vacuum, for a time, by dropping into deep hibernation. But the cold had killed them, eventually. Han had kept the hold in a sealed vacuum and near absolute zero the entire trip, and by the time they arrived on Eclipse, the Voxen were frozen solid. She had probed their molecular structures with the Force and found every cell in their bodies burst. She had confirmed her findings via ultrasonic probe and thermal scan, then performed a dozen different bioscans on their space-frozen carcasses to search out any lingering sign of life. Just to be certain, she had done it all again, and only after confirming her results had she cut their claws out of the Falcon's durasteel deck. They had to be dead. Still, Silgall was not taking chances. Not with creatures that spat flesh-eating acid and stunned their prey with sonic blasts. Creatures whose blood became a neurotoxin in most kinds of air, whose toe pads harbored 100 deadly retroviruses. She was too fatigued to analyze the situation, too prone to mistakes lately to gamble with the lives of everyone on Eclipse. Silgall backed quietly out the door, then slipped the comlink from her pocket and raised it to her lips. A plaintive Wookiee groan rolled out of the room, and she grew aware of a strange heaviness in the Force. With a start, she realized the sound she had heard was crying. Human crying. Silgall peered through the door and saw a line of young Jedi standing on the other side of the room, looking through a transperisteel observation panel into the frozen tissue locker. At one end of the group stood Anakin, tall, lanky, and broad-shouldered in the way of human males as they crossed from adolescence into adulthood, recognizable even from behind by his sandy brown tousled mane. Beside him, as always, stood Tahiri, small and svelte with short-cropped blonde hair, feet customarily bare, her EV footwear in one hand and Anakin's arm in the other. The Wookiee groan had come from the opposite end of the line, where russet-furred Lobaka stood with Jaina Solo's slender form wrapped into his hairy arm. Next to them stood Zek and Tenel Ka. Zek, a wiry young man with shaggy black hair hanging over his collar. Tenel Ka, a tall and willowy beauty with rust-colored hair and an arm amputated just above the elbow. And, more or less in the center, was the one Silgall had heard crying, blond-haired Raynar Thule, standing alone with his fists pressed against the transperisteel, his shoulders rising and falling as he sobbed. Silgall remained outside, trying to decide whether collecting yet another tissue sample justified the intrusion. The young Jedi Knights were a close-knit group, having spent many of their formative years studying at Luke's Jedi Academy on Yavin 4. Together, they had fought off Imperial kidnappers, dark Jedi, ruthless crime organizations, and more hazards than the Mon Calamari healer could name. Whatever was grieving them, it did not seem right to trespass on their gathering now. She started to back away, but her presence had not gone unnoticed. Tenel Ka turned and fixed a pair of red-rimmed eyes on her. "Do not mind us," she said. "We are not here to disturb your work." Feeling the companion's anguish through the Force, but unsure of what to do about it, Silgall entered the room and went to the closet where she kept the cryosuit she would need to collect her samples. "Someone else has died?" she asked, fearing the truth even as she surmised it. "Lusa," Anakin said, voice cracking. Lusa was one of their close friends from the Academy on Yavin 4, a nature-loving Kyranian female. Anakin gestured vaguely toward the frozen carcasses in the tissue locker. A pack of Voxen ran her down. "We just heard over the subspace," Tahiri added. "She was at home, just running through a meadow." "She was supposed to be safe," Jaina added, finally pulling her face out of Lobaka's fur. "Chiron is long way from the Yuuzhan Vong." Silgal felt a stab of guilt. "I am sorry to be so slow. I have learnt much about these creatures, but nothing of use." Reynar mumbled a suggestion that she work harder. Out of respect for his grief, Silgal pretended not to hear, and began to fumble into her cryosuit. Lobaka was not so generous, groaning softly and admonishing the young Jedi for his rudeness. Reynar started to say something in reply, but his throat failed him, and he turned back toward the tissue locker. Jaina stepped away from Lobaka and patted Reynar's arm, then turned to Silgal. "Forgive Reynar, Silgal. He and Lusa were very close." Though Jaina's eyes were puffy from crying, Silgal could feel that the red came from anger. "No one is angry at you. Jedi are dying, and the Senate blames us for losing the war. Sometimes I think we should just go off into the unknown regions and leave the New Republic to the Yuuzhan Vong." "I understand," Silgal said. Grief, especially young grief, had to have an outlet, or it would eat away the vessel. "But what will we do when the Yuuzhan Vong come for us there?" Jaina's eyes hardened, but she nodded. "I know, and I suppose there's no guarantee the Chiss would welcome us." "Then I suppose we must find a way to defend this part of the galaxy."
Silgal nearly fell as she thrust her leg into the cryosuit.
"If we can." "Don't these creatures have a weakness?" Tahiri asked. "The Sand People say everyone has a weakness. Everyone except them."
"The Voxen have no weakness, I have found," Silgal answered. "As we suspected, they are part of this galaxy and part of the Yuuzhan Vongs. But I have not gone far beyond that. There is so much that makes no sense."
"You are tired."
Tennel Ka came over and held one of the suit's bulky arms.
"I will help you."
"Maybe she should rest." Anakin turned around, revealing eyes as red as Tennel Ka's. "It's hard to think straight when you can't even stand." Silgal smiled at his concern.
"You're right, of course, but I cannot bring myself to sleep while others are dying."
She pushed her arm through the second sleeve.
"I may as well work."
"Is there anything we can do?"
Tennel Ka asked.
"We have sentry duty in an hour, but—" "You can watch," Silgal said. "You can tell me how I keep contaminating these samples."
"Contaminating them?"
Tahiri asked. "What do you mean?"
"Their genetic codes always map the same," Silgal said. "It's not the equipment. I have checked. So I must be contaminating the samples when I collect them."
Tennel Ka exchanged glances with her friends, then laid a hand on Silgal's arm to stop her from closing the suit.
"How many times have you tried?"
"Four,"
Silgal said.
"And they always map the same?" Jaina asked. "Exactly the same?"
Silgal nodded, struggling to see what the young Jedi were driving at.
"Even when Tekli gathers the samples?"
Tekli was her apprentice, a young Chadra Fon no older than Jaina.
"We are making a systematic error somewhere."
"And what if you are not?" Tennel Ka asked.
A wave of weariness came over Silgal, and she shook her head.
"We are. No two genetic sequences are identical. There are always differences."
"Not always," Jaina said.
Silgal frowned, then felt her skin brighten to a pale green.
"Clones?"
she gasped.
"They're cloning the Voxen."
"Why would they do that?"
Tennel Ka asked.
"Would it not make more sense to breed them?"
"Perhaps."
Silgal was suddenly wide awake, her thoughts flying at light speed.
"Unless they have only one."
Anakin's eyes lit with excitement, or perhaps it was determination. That would be a weakness, definitely.
"But these Voxen all came from the same shipment."
Tenelka observed. Can we be sure that a pack from another shipment would not come from a different master?
Silgal thought for a moment, going over all the different kinds of tests, both scientific and through the Force. She could run. She kept coming to the same conclusion.
There is no way to be sure, she said. Not from one set of samples.
Then we need more samples. Anakin was already half out the door before he seemed to realize that Tahiri was the only one following. He scowled back at the others. We need them now.